When news breaks, go beyond the headlines with the new MSNBC app.
New developments in the legal drama surrounding former President Donald Trump.
Get real-time analysis from live blogs to in-depth essays, video highlights from your favorite shows and hosts.
Lots of news of all kinds going on right now.
And the latest updates on the 2024 election.
The rematch is on. It's Trump-Biden Part 2.
Go beyond the what to understand the why. Download the app now at MSNBC.com/app.
I think you're going to find the patience of businesses and the patience of a lot of other people running thin. Because the fact is, if you had high vaccination rates, we wouldn't be in this spot right now. What I'm trying to do is keep people safe. I mean that sincerely. So, if in fact you're unvaccinated, you present a problem to yourself, to your family, and to those with whom you work.
President Biden pushes for vaccines as Speaker Pelosi sets the tone on mask wearing. How do some Republicans respond? With a show of defiance that could drive their supporters straight into a hospital bed.
Way to go, fellas.
What is it going to take to stop the partisanship and paranoia from the fight against COVID?
I don't know. You know, they defend violence on
January 6th.
I'm going to just go through. I'm going to go through the entire calendar. I'll get there on January the 6th. It was the most jarring day for this country since 9/11. But they basically defend the violence by trying to cover up the violence, by trying to say it was nothing but tourism on January the 6th. For the most part, those House members do. And on vaccines, they're practicing voodoo. Do they? I don't know what polls they're looking at, but not good for the Republican Party. So we're going to be talking about all of that. Jonathan Lemire, though, you know, the old RFK Stadium, they used to put up those signs when the old Washington Redskins would play football and would say, bring baseball back to D.C. They're going to be doing that again this fall for the Washington area football team or whatever they call themselves now. because, man, fire sale yesterday. While nobody was looking, they basically sold off the Nationals, and Red Sox and the Dodgers were real beneficiaries.
Yeah, this is a Nationals team, Joe, that won a World Series just 2 years ago, 2019. So I think any Nationals fan will take the trade, but it's shocking how quickly they dismantled it yesterday. And they also have, it should be noted, the richest owner in Major League Baseball. And it's always been a sore spot among Nats fans that they don't always pay their players like other owners perhaps should. But we saw two huge trades. First of all, our Red Sox will take Kyle Schwarber, power hitter, who had a remarkable run earlier this year, a home run streak.
Schwab, that's right.
Now he'll be Kyle Schwab. He, though, is on the injured list and probably will be for a couple more weeks. That's seen by the Sox as an effort to match what the Yankees have done, picking up both Joey Gallo and Anthony Rizzo, giving them lefty bats and defense that they desperately needed. But the big trade, which is not quite official yet, but rumors, the Nats are close to sending Max Scherzer, their ace, and Trey Turner, their star shortstop, both of them to an already loaded Dodgers team.
Yeah, that's going to be tough. Going to be very tough. But we'll see what happens. We'll see. Hopefully the Red Sox will do it a little better than last night. But the Red Sox, the Red Sox and the Yankees last night lost by a combined like 27-1, something like that. So better days ahead.
Let's hope.
Okay, let's get to the headlines this morning. Faced with a surging number of coronavirus cases, President Biden has announced sweeping new requirements for millions of federal workers. Under the new policy, federal government employees and members of the military will have to sign forms acknowledging that they've been vaccinated or else comply with new rules for masking, weekly testing, social distancing, and more. The president is also urging state and local governments to offer $100 to anyone willing to get a shot voluntarily. Speaking from the East Room yesterday, Biden delivered a sharp rebuke to those who are still unvaccinated and emphasized that the fight is still far from over.
Nearly all of the cases, hospitalizations and deaths due to COVID-19 today are from unvaccinated people. Last month, a study showed that over 99% of COVID-19 deaths have been among the unvaccinated. 99%. This is an American tragedy. People are dying and will die who don't have to die. If you're out there unvaccinated, you don't have to die. Right now, too many people are dying or watching someone they love dying and saying, if I just got vaccinated. America's divided between the majority of eligible people who are vaccinated and those who are not. And I understand that many of you in the majority are frustrated with the consequences of the failure of the minority to get vaccinated. But I want you to know that I'm going to continue to do everything I can to encourage the unvaccinated to get vaccinated. I know people talk about freedom, but I learned growing up in school and from my parents, with freedom comes responsibility. Your decision to be unvaccinated impacts someone else. Unvaccinated people spread the virus. They get sick and fill up our hospitals. And that means if someone else has a heart attack or breaks a hip, there may not be a hospital bed for them. It's an American blessing that we have vaccines for each and every American. We've made it our first and top priority to have available vaccines for every eligible American. And that's never going to change as long as I'm here. And it's a shame. It's just such a shame to squander that blessing.
Perhaps nowhere is the latest coronavirus surge more evident than in Osage Beach, Missouri. The Associated Press was given access inside Lake Regional Hospital there, where 22 people died from the virus in the first 23 days of July. They report Daryl Barker was passionately against a COVID-19 vaccination, and so were his relatives. Then 10 of them got sick, and so did he. I was strongly against getting the vaccine, Barker said, through labored breathing, just because we're a strong conservative family. Barker, at just 31 years old, ended up in the intensive care unit fighting for his life. But just finding a hospital bed proved unbelievably difficult, according to the AP, with his local hospital maxed out with COVID-19 patients. Doctors contacted a dozen hospitals in all corners of the state. All were at capacity. He arrived critically ill, placed on a ventilator. Barker was given a 20% chance of surviving. The doctor told me he was going to let my wife and kid in so I could say my goodbyes, because he didn't think I was going to pull through, he said. Barker, who has been hospitalized for 3 weeks, isn't out of the woods yet. In Missouri, COVID-19 hospitalizations have more than doubled since the start of June, and the number of ICU patients has more than tripled. According to the AP, many patients now are younger, in their 20s, 30s, or 40s, and sicker than ever before. Nearly everyone hospitalized is unvaccinated. Meanwhile, a significant number of American healthcare workers are among the millions of people still unvaccinated. NBC News correspondent Gabe Gutierrez joins us now with a look at why. Gabe, what did you find out? You would think these are the people that know the most.
Mika, good morning. About one in four healthcare workers in this country still have not been vaccinated. This is Bellevue Hospital in New York, and healthcare workers actually rallied here last week against so-called vaccine mandates. We spoke with another group in North Carolina yesterday. Show of hands, how many of you have gotten a COVID vaccine?
These are four healthcare workers from different hospitals in North Carolina.
Why not?
We don't know what the long-term side effects are.
It also hasn't been proven to be effective.
The CDC and many public health experts say that it's more than 90% effective.
They do say that. That hasn't proven to me to be true. I'm not going to just jump on a bandwagon with something that has not been tested.
When you say that it hasn't been tested, it has been tested, though.
But not to the, if you look at the normal year span of how long something is tested, it's usually 12 to 14 years before it comes to humans.
Across the country, about one in four healthcare workers still isn't vaccinated against COVID. And from North Carolina to Texas to New York, anti-mandate protests are mounting.
I don't trust it right now.
So is the pushback.
This is in the category of give me a bleeping break. When did everyone get a medical degree?
For weeks, we've spoken with many overworked healthcare workers who practically begged Americans to get the shot.
What do you tell people who just don't believe you?
It's frustrating.
Not these. They say they're not anti-vax, more anti-mandate.
And I'm not comfortable putting something into my body until I am ready. If and when I'm ready to get the vaccine, I will get it on my own accord. I won't be forced.
You just don't trust the CDC.
I do not trust the CDC. Absolutely not.
And that fuels their skepticism.
I have the right to question anybody in this country I want to question.
You're entitled to your own opinion, but these are facts.
Are they, though? Are they facts?
And Mika and Joe, that answer, despite the fact that more than 40,000 people participated in the Pfizer clinical trial alone. Still, despite that, those healthcare workers, as you just saw, are not convinced. And I should mention, overnight, there's a report that's getting a lot of attention, an internal CDC document, first obtained and posted online overnight by the Washington Post, says that the Delta variant is as contagious as the chickenpox, much more than previously thought. Mika?
All right. NBC's Gabe Gutierrez. Thank you, so much. Such an important report. We really appreciate you bring it to us and being with us this morning. I mean, that answer, are they, though? Are they really facts? That's what I get when I have family members and friends sending me information from Chinese religious cults, from their websites, and their conspiracy theories, and you send them back facts. And by the way, I'm not sending them back from an MSNBC website. I'll send back facts from a Fox News website or the AP or the Wall Street Journal. And I'll say, this is Rupert Murdoch's Wall Street Journal, and this is what they say. Are they, though? Are those really the facts? Are those really the numbers? Are those, people, they didn't die. All those people didn't die. Doctors got paid for saying that somebody died of COVID. I've just got to say the idiocy. And again, everybody's entitled in this country to be an idiot. If you want to be an idiot, you know, it's not what I do, but if you choose to be an idiot about your personal health and the personal health of your children and the personal health of your family and the personal health of your mother and grandmother and father and grandfather, that's your business. For your community, that's fine. That's your business. But hospitals don't have to hire you. The Washington Post doesn't have to hire you. News outlets don't have to hire you. Banks don't have to hire you. Small businesses don't have, but restaurants don't have to hire you. So you have the right to be an idiot. I want you to know that. You have a right to deny science. You have a right to practice voodoo medicine if you choose. That's your choice. But Joe Biden's right, Jonathan Lemire. At this point, where I'm going, at least, and as I say, I hang out in communities filled with Trump supporters. At this point, a lot of people are getting really pissed off. A lot of people are saying, what's with the unvaccinated? What's with this hyper-individualism that basically says, I have a right to do this, and as Joe Biden said, but no personal responsibility going along with that hyper-individualism, no concern for their country and what's in the best interest of their country, no understanding or recognition of Jesus's words, do unto others that which you would do unto yourself. It's all, I have a right to infect my house, to infect my community, to kill everybody that might just come in inside of me in a closed, tight room. I have that right, and I'm not gonna. That's fine. But at some point, you know what? We gotta say, you can't work for the federal government if you don't have a vaccine. You can't teach school if you don't have a vaccine. You can't work in hospitals if you don't have a vaccine. You can't work with our parents and grandparents at long care term facilities if you don't have a vaccine. This is common sense. And I think Joe Biden is starting to finally pick up what Americans are thinking, which is, you know what? If they want to do that to themselves, that's their business. But we need to move on with our life. By the way, something I've been saying now for 6 months, They can do what they want to do, but we don't have to eat with them. We don't have to send our parents and grandparents to hospitals with them. Like, if they want to live in the darkness of the edge of town, that's their business. They're Americans. But we don't have to let you go where we go. Do what we do if private businesses don't want to hire you for being so reckless with your health and everybody else's.
Right, we heard from the president yesterday, certainly sadness, but also real frustration as to what he deemed an American tragedy about these preventable deaths, saying that it is just those who are not being vaccinated, who are those who are choosing to die because they're not taking the vaccine. And he's saying to them, don't make that choice. But he also acknowledged the growing frustration of the vaccinated, those Americans who have done the right thing all along, who have listened to public health officials, who social distance, who wore masks and are now putting them back on, who got vaccines, who are, had to change their lives because of those who are not doing the same, those who are not being vaccinated. So in conversations I had yesterday, Joe, with White House officials, yesterday was sort of the start. There has not been yet a federal vaccine mandate. The White House is reluctant to do that, certainly nationwide, even among the federal workforce so far. But yesterday was a step in that direction where they certainly make it much harder for federal workers to not be vaccinated and still be able to do their jobs and do it effectively. That's sort of an incentive system they're setting up. Watch the Pentagon. Officials I talked to said that there's moves now, sooner than later, for the Secretary of Defense to add the COVID-19 vaccine to the list of required inoculations for those in the military. Those who serve in the military have to receive some vaccinations. The COVID-19 one could be added to that list before long. That's a step that they're trying to take. Yes, we're hearing about cash incentives too. He's urging state and local officials to give $100 to do so. But these are just steps. And they're leaning on also private groups, business groups, and they want to set an example and have those groups do more so. And the president even hinted that he thinks before long, you'll need to be show proof of vaccination to be able to get on an international flight. These are the first steps towards more and
Why
more businesses
not?
And governments saying
Why
you need to get a shot.
Not. Why not? And those nurses, is that they're going, I don't think that it's been proven effective. Oh, really? 99% of the people in hospitals right now for COVID, they didn't get the shot. Is that not proof for you? 99 out of 100? I just don't know if those are the facts. This is the alternative fact world that we have lived in now for 5 years. And again, you have a God-given right to be an idiot in the United States of America. And because I'm a capitalist, let me just be very clear. Small businesses have a God-given right to not let you work for them or not let you in their restaurants, in their buildings. If you're going to come in coughing and wheezing and getting their right. children and everybody else's children sick, enough is enough. Again, this hyper individualism that comes with no personal responsibility, that comes for no care for children, that comes for no care for community, that comes from no care for country, that comes with no care for what Jesus said about doing unto others that which you would have them do unto you. That hyper individualism, yeah, you practice that inside your cabin.
So,
all right, because we don't want you getting our children sick and getting everybody else's children sick. One other thing that Biden said yesterday, Mika. Mm-hmm. So I guess the wing nuts who don't believe in science, mm-hmm. I guess they were probably upset at Joe Biden yesterday for saying you need to get a vaccine. On the other side, I bet you there's some teachers unions that were upset at Joe Biden yesterday for saying we're starting school. And guess what? That's what we've been saying here. We're going back to school this fall.
Correct.
We're going back to school. And by the way, teachers union unions, you were whining. You were whining for months. Oh, we can't go back in without the vaccines. We got the vaccines. We've got the vaccines. If you want to work in public schools, get a vaccine. If you don't, then become a painter. Do whatever you want to do. But you're not going to stop the rest of us from sending our children to school. You've got the vaccines now. And guess what? A lot of you, you're running out of excuses. And I remember hearing leaked sound from a teachers union's conference, I think it was, where they were saying, oh, they just want babysitters. No, we don't want babysitters. We want teachers. We want classrooms. We want our children getting an education. And you are not going to be staying at home because you didn't get a vaccine. You're not going to continue being a teacher if you didn't get a vaccine. You asked for it, you got it. The vaccines are there for you. Now get the vaccine and get ready for school. Make your school plans for the new year, because our children need to be back in the classroom.
Okay, so, and I think to your point, Joe, adults have every right to be stupid, and if they want to risk their lives, that's fine, but it doesn't apply to our kids, and that's why these vaccines are so important. Joining us now, practicing internist Dr. Lucy McBride and Morning Joe chief medical correspondent Dr. Dave Campbell. Also with us, Pulitzer Prize-winning columnist and associate editor of The Washington Post and MSNBC political analyst Eugene Robinson. Dr. Dave, the Delta variant and young people, what is your position on vaccine mandates in these hot zones in southern states, like for state schools and for areas where there are going to be clusters of young people trying to live their lives?
Mika, we have seen this week that the information has been evolving just like we knew the Delta variant evolved from prior iterations of the virus. So now this week, we start from the beginning of the week, we learned that the CDC, through some information they learned, is recommending that masks are worn indoors in areas where there's a substantial rate of transmission. That's almost the entire country now. So the rules and guidance from the CDC evolved this week. The American Academy of Pediatrics and the Children's Medical Group for the hospitals also now has recommended that every person over two that goes to school is in a school wears a mask. I think the biggest news, however, is what is going to come out today, if the information in my reporting is correct. We're going to learn the data behind the CDC's recommendation to modify the mask wear guidance. The concern now, and it speaks to everything, Joe, you just said, and Mika, you just said, and Jonathan, it speaks to the potential that vaccinated people with this Delta variant have such a high viral load that they may transmit the virus to others also. That's circulating this week in the scientific news. If that is, in fact, we know that the Delta variant in vaccinated people creates a viral load equivalent to the viral load in unvaccinated people who are infected. We're going to learn soon if that also increases the transmission rate.
Yeah. Lucy McBride, let me ask you about the Washington Post report that they've gotten. CDC has some information now about just how quickly this spreads. What are they? I think they compared it to chickenpox. This Delta variant is extraordinarily dangerous, moves extraordinarily fast, and is really bad news if you or your children or your parents are still unvaccinated.
That's exactly right. We have some concerning news that Delta indeed is highly transmissible, highly contagious. We also, however, know well how to protect, for example, children, the 11s and under, who are unvaccinated and hopefully going back to school. They need to be in school. Kids need school like fish need water. We know how to protect kids. We protect kids, particularly the most vulnerable kids, those who have underlying health conditions like obesity, diabetes, asthma, certain neurologic conditions. We protect kids by surrounding them with people who are immune to COVID-19, either from natural infection or from being vaccinated. This is arguably the most important reason for vaccine mandates is in schools. Kids need to be back in school. And when teachers are vaccinated, when we have good ventilation in schools, when we have access to rapid antigen or what I would call contagiousness tests, to quickly make a diagnosis of Delta and keep a child out of school, to quickly allow knowledge of an exposed child, whether or not they are carrying Delta asymptomatically. And we need to do everything we can to protect those vulnerable kids. Remember, though, let's reassure parents who have healthy kids without underlying conditions that their risk is very low for severe consequences. A healthy average kid is going to get a common cold or a mild flu. It's those high-risk kids we need to protect the most.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, and Dr. Dave, you had said that the mask requirement or the mask suggestion was for most of the country. I want to show a map. I think it's very telling. Wow. that it's not needed in Maine, most of Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, New England, all across New England, New York, Pennsylvania, Ohio, Michigan, Wisconsin. And Minnesota, those are states, obviously, that are doing some things right, not a high chance of transmission. So there's a perfect example. And, of course, in the Deep South, all across my home region in the Deep South, Trump country through and through, where you know, Mississippi, Alabama, what, maybe one out of three people, only one out of three people got vaccinated. In Florida, where you have a governor who brags really more often than not about how he's thumbing his nose at science, red hot. So you actually see here, here's a great map that really shows what the impact of policy is, what the impact is of leadership, what the impact is for regions that actually decide to get the vaccines.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true, Joe. And if you look at that map today, which we don't have in front of us, we're going to see that the red has spread and that the number of counties in the U.S. that do not have substantial or high rates of transmission will be around 1%. So this number looks like a wildfire. And indeed, that's what this Delta variant is doing. But the biggest news is, in my view, of the information coming out of CDC, American Association of Pediatrics, and others, that this Delta variant is making it far worse, even for those that are unvaccinated, than it was before. So if you can transmit this virus at a higher rate from vaccinated people that contract asymptomatic or mild symptomatic COVID, that is a further game changer from what we've already learned about the Delta variant being easily transmitted from those that are unvaccinated when they get sick to other people. So this has been literally a crazy week, Joe. And if we look back next week and see really as the dust settles, we're going to have to prepare for school even more. Having every kid go back to school, I agree with Dr. McBride, great idea. It's critically important to be in school, doing everything possible to protect the teachers and the students in school is on the plate and needs to be enacted. Everything.
Yep. All right. Dr. Dave Campbell, Dr. Lucy McBride, thank you both very much. And you're right. Vaccines for all the teachers, the kids, if they're in those affected regions, it's up to the school boards, but the kids, wearing masks and being separated out, at least until we know what happens with this Delta variant and how wide it gets. And hopefully, Gene Robinson, the president's strong words, the fact that he's actually going to start paying people something to start the new people getting vaccines, maybe all this together will work. But I will say one thing. Yesterday, Joe Biden certainly connected, not with the people that are always going to be against vaccines, always going to be against anything that makes sense.
Yeah.
And by the way, this is the Trump vaccine, right? Mm-hmm. They could call this the Trump vaccine if they wanted to, if they didn't want to be ignorant about it. But you know, enough's enough. And you know, mm-hmm. I know I was feeling this, and a lot of my friends were feeling this over the past couple weeks. Conservatives, especially personal responsibility conservatives, saying, wait a second, if they're not going to take personal responsibility for themselves, what, they're supposed to get my kids sick? So I think Biden really touched a nerve yesterday. Enough's enough. Yeah. Get your damn vaccination. I love what the Washington Post has done. You want to mm-hmm. work here? That's awesome. We yep. want you to work here. Get a damn vaccination. And also, yep. I love what Biden said about schools. We're going back to school. We're going back to school. Just don't even pretend that there's any question about our kids getting back in the classroom last fall. I thought yesterday was a good day for Biden.
Well, I thought so, too. But, the situation is just really stupid, though. I mean, it's just really stupid that there are so many unvaccinated people. We have, if the Delta variant really can be transmitted by vaccinated people to each other or to unvaccinated people, it basically means that this virus, this variant of the virus, is going to be with us for a while. Unless there's another surprise that the virus has for us and it somehow just goes away, which I don't see how that happens. It's going to be with us. But we have the tool that turns it into the common cold or less, right? We have the tools. We have the vaccines. Why on earth would people not take that? And how on earth do people think they are safe or their children are safe or anybody's children are safe if more people don't get vaccinated? I just don't understand that thinking. Are these really facts? Well, you know, there are a lot of people in hospitals right now
Gene, you saw Gabe Gutierrez's package. He's talking to four nurses who work inside and said this vaccine's effective, and they give the answer that all of these Trump personality cult people, are those really the facts? Were those really the number of votes that Fox News is reporting? Were those really the number of votes that Rupert Murdoch's Wall Street Journal was reporting? Because I've got a website here that's run by a Chinese cult that tells me separately. I mean, what world are we living in? What world are we living in? And now it's getting real because, of course, there are a lot of people that didn't care when older people died in America. And by the way, we've got the clips. We've got the clips from pro-Trump people saying that, basically. Yeah. But now that it's their children, I'm wondering if it gets a little more real for them.
I hope so. I mean,
their children, all of our children. This stupidity is affecting all of our children because the Delta variant is filling up pediatrician wards across America.
Exactly. Yeah, because it's so transmissible, because so many more kids are going to be infected as long as this thing is running rampant. And, you know, first of all, those medical workers that Gabe talked to, I just don't understand any hospital system, any medical facility that doesn't already have a vaccine mandate for employees, period. We at the Washington Post, publisher after a careful process and a lot of thought, announced that This vaccination is now a condition of employment. When we all go back into the office in September, everybody's expected to be vaccinated, and I am so happy about that because it's going to make everybody. It's going to make everybody more comfortable, and really make it possible for us to get back together. And so I'm pro mandate. I mean, I think employers should have mandates. I think small businesses and large businesses should have mandates. And right now, I mean, I'm back in the mask because I'm vaccinated, but if I can get the virus and if I can transmit it, even though I don't get sick, you know, it's irresponsible for me to allow that to happen, and I shouldn't have to do that. People should get the damn vaccine.
Yeah, they really should. And by the way, you're right. You go back to the Washington Post newsroom, you'll be comfortable that you're not going to get the virus from somebody. And even though you're asymptomatic, you're not going to pass it on to a child or a family member or somebody else who may be diabetic or have an underlying condition. And Mika, again, Gene said the words vaccine mandate. Oh, my God, that sounds for so many people. That sounds so jarring. A vaccine mandate? Why, America's never done that before. Why don't we just take down the American flag, and because it's that's a it happens every year.
Yeah.
Everybody watching this show, if you went to school in America, chances are extraordinarily good that you got 4, 5, 6 vaccines that were mandated by the government before they let you learn your ABCs. This is nothing new. The only thing new about this is that there's a movement in America started in large part by a reality TV host that made smart people dumb and dumb people insane. So let's just study history. Don't make us explain it to you. Don't make us explain how America has worked for the past 50, 60, 70 years as far as vaccines go, because you've tried to make me explain things to you before when you call me up. And you know how they work. Don't play dumb. You, your kids, everybody you know had to have 5, 6 vaccines. There were vaccine mandates before any of us could go to public school and get educated. So that's where we are now. We're gonna move forward and save lives. And if you want to be stupid, please, please do that somewhere else.
Yeah, people can have a choice. So we're going to return to this. But for now, let's go to Tokyo. We turn now to what was an already emotional week for Team USA Gymnastics, delivering another dramatic twist with a gold medal in the all-around event that was expected to be dominated by Simone Biles. With Biles still focusing on her mental health, it was the 18-year-old from Minnesota, Suni Lee, who stepped up to become the 5th American woman in a row to claim gold. NBC News senior correspondent Tom Yamas takes us through Suni's big day in Tokyo.
The Olympics has a story the world can cheer. Suni Lee reinvigorating Team USA after the shock of Simone Biles' exit.
There are definitely a lot of emotions, but I'm super proud of myself for sticking with it and believing it.
Same place Biles stumbled earlier this week, nailing her vault and setting the tone. Then to bars, her high-flying routine, the most difficult in the competition, maintaining her focus and poise on the beam. And when it mattered most and the pressure was on, Lee delivered on every corner of the mat. Her dad giving one of his famous pep talks before the meet.
He just told me to do what I normally do, go out there and do my best, because in their hearts I was already a winner and they were just so proud of me no matter what.
And back in St. Paul, her family erupting in cheers, so proud of their girl.
It's just amazing that she can end up on top.
Her dad reminiscing about the wooden beam he built for her in their front yard.
She went from a wooden 2x4 beam to a golden 2x4.
Biles also watching and cheering her on in the arena for the event she was expected to dominate. And now the U.S. has a new gold medalist to celebrate.
Oh, boy, that's so exciting. She said it was hard, but she's very proud that she stuck with it. And she did stick with it. And what a great moment for the U.S. Olympics gymnastics team.
Joining us now live from Tokyo is NBC News senior international correspondent Keir Simmons. Keir, there are so many great narratives and storylines playing out in Tokyo. What do you have for us this morning?
Yeah. Hey, Mika, you know, I'm just talking about Suni Lee. I mean, you know, the psychology of athletics has been the conversation for the past few days. And I think one of the fascinating things was to see how the other women really stepped up without Simone Biles. I mean, Simone Biles has dominated for so many years. And then suddenly, yesterday, a gold medal was a possibility. So it wasn't just the Americans. It was also the Brazilians, the Russians. You really saw them reach for that opportunity. And that just makes Suni Lee's achievement all the more stunning. Talking of psychology, guys, we've just been watching the Canada-Brazil game, women's soccer, going through extra time. I don't know, Joe, how you're feeling about Team USA taking on the Netherlands, I think in just an hour or so's time. That's going to be a nail-biter with the women's soccer.
Very excited about that and keeping our fingers crossed. Talk about Swimmer Ryan Murphy taking second place in the 200-meter backstroke, losing gold to a Russian, and afterwards hinting that the race might not have been clean. I'm just curious. You sense that these athletes have a growing frustration with the fact that the Russians were supposedly banned from the Olympics for cheating, but the IOC has somehow allowed some of these Russian athletes to participate during these games. Frustration growing, and at least among the U.S. athletes. Talk about that.
Yeah, I mean, it's a head scratcher, isn't it, when you see so many athletes under this ROC banner. So they're not under the Russian flag, but they're still Russians competing and, you know, way up the medal list. Look, the thing is that the Olympics idea was that Russians who haven't actually been found guilty of doping should still be allowed to compete, even if Russia should be penalized. But then you ask yourself the question, is Russia really being penalized? I think it really underscores just how corrosive doping is, because, you know, you saw those accusations against Russia going back to Sochi, that incredible state-sponsored doping program, and it's just undermined. I mean, it's just bad for the Russians. It's bad for Russian athletes. It just undermines every single performance that they have. The question is whether there is the evidence that Russia is changing its ways, if you like. There are plenty of suggestions that it's not, and even that the coronavirus has made it harder to find cases of doping. So it's understandable that other athletes are frustrated and questioning. I guess you've got to say, though, just fundamentally when it comes to the individuals, that allegations need to be proven. If they're not proven, then you can't say that they're true, if you like.
Right. Exactly. And here there have been rising cases of the coronavirus all over the world, and we're seeing that at the Olympics. What's the level of concern at this point?
There is concern, Mika. Look, the numbers of infections are going up here. We've now seen the third straight day of record numbers of infections. That's clearly a worry. That being said, there are lots of Olympians here and officials and media, and the numbers of positive tests have been a fraction of the numbers of people who've been here. Just as a counterpoint, I think there is growing enthusiasm, or has been growing enthusiasm here in Japan for the Games. Just to give you an example, anecdotally, there is a merchandise store not far from here in a mall. When we were here just under 4 weeks ago, initially it was empty. I was there today, and there were lots of folks from Tokyo, lots of Japanese people there buying merchandise. So just that in itself suggests that while there are still the worries about the coronavirus here, there's also a good deal of excitement. I mean, they love their sports here in Japan. I mean, that's part of the tragedy of what's played out, the fact that there aren't spectators, because they really love their sports.
All right, NBC's Keir Simmons in Tokyo, thank you very, very much. We appreciate it. And still ahead on Morning Joe. This week, we saw the Senate reach an agreement on infrastructure. Now, there's another glimmer of bipartisanship when it comes to Capitol security. Plus, House Republicans stage a protest over mask-wearing rules. But what is the message they are sending to constituents? And British Prime Minister Boris Johnson loses a battle with an umbrella.
I hate when that happens.
You're watching Morning Joe.
It's just so frustrating.
We'll be right back.
Come on.
Today and every day, Planned Parenthood is committed to ensuring that everyone has the information and resources they need to make their own decisions about their bodies, including abortion care. Lawmakers who oppose abortion are attacking Planned Parenthood, which means affordable, high-quality, basic health care for more than 2 million people is at stake. The right to control our bodies and get the health care we need has been stolen from us. And now, politicians in nearly every state have introduced bills that would block people from getting the sexual and reproductive care they need. Planned Parenthood believes everyone deserves health care. It's a human right. That's why they fight every day to push for common sense policies that protect our right to control our own bodies and against policies that interfere with decisions between patients and their doctor. Planned Parenthood needs your support now more than ever. With supporters like you, we can reclaim our rights and protect and expand access to abortion care. Visit PlannedParenthood.org/future. That's PlannedParenthood.org/future.
The vaccine was developed and authorized under a Republican administration. And it's been distributed and administered under a Democratic administration. The vaccines are safe, highly effective. There's nothing political about them. Look at all the people who took a shot at it. They later, we learned a lot of them have already been vaccinated. From the start, I have to compliment Republican Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell. He had made it political. He's encouraged people to get vaccinated and continuing to do so. And his state's in pretty good shape. Alabama Republican Governor Kay Ivey recently spoke out to encourage vaccination, and even the commentators on Facts who have been belittling this for a long time, some haven't, but many have, are arguing get vaccinated. Look, this is not about red states and blue states. It's literally about life and death.
President Biden praising some Republicans' recent push to get more Americans vaccinated. These, however, are the Republicans Biden will not be praising. A number of House Republicans yesterday marching over to the Senate to protest reimposing mask mandates in the House, speaking out against Speaker Nancy Pelosi's push to mask up.
That is not a speaker for America. That's a speaker only concerned about her own wealth, her own direction, and her own control. This is the people's house, not the
right, seriously, about- do we really want to listen to this?
Wow.
Do we really, seriously, like the dumbest
no,
man
here's
in
my
Washington?
Question. Is he really that dumb?
Yeah, I don't know if he is or not. I don't know if he just plays dumb on TV or if he's actually dumb. But the question is, how many of those House Republicans are vaccinated? How many members of the House are vaccinated? Because I know most of the Democrats are. We've been hearing that there are Republicans that are still not vaccinated. How many of those House Republicans that you saw right there are flying back to districts that are still hot with infections, that are still dangerous with infections because the infections are growing in their parts of the country? Chances are pretty good if they're at a press conference like that. Chances are really good just looking at that map that they're all from red hot districts, or most of them are from red hot districts. And finally, you just got to ask. Why aren't they following the example of Governor Kay Ivey? Why aren't they following the example of Mitch McConnell, who's actually spending campaign money to get the message out in his district?
Mitch McConnell wears a mask.
And Mitch McConnell's been wearing a mask ahead of all the other Republicans taking this seriously. So this isn't, like Joe Biden said, this isn't a Republican and Democratic thing. This is an issue of life and death.
Well, and one of those Republicans, Joe, said that this is tyranny, what's happening to them with the masks.
Well, so
tyranny.
Tyranny. I wonder if they think it's tyranny that children have to get vaccinated before they go to kindergarten. It's, again,
what are they
why are we just starting to hear about this? I mean, you talk about this hyper-individualism with no personal responsibility. You actually have people that are snowflakes that melt, that crumble, that collapse if they have to wear a mask inside. It's just, oh, tyranny? You're in the House of Representatives. You make laws for the United States of America. You have some personal responsibility to your constituents. Do what Mitch McConnell's doing and stop making stupid political statements and doing those stunts.
I'd like to point out, Joe, that a couple of those Republicans, some of them went and you know, tried to defy the mask mandate in the House and were trying to get arrested, putting their hand. They can't even keep a straight face.
Yeah.
I mean, some of them, and Kevin McCarthy himself, can't even keep a straight face when he's saying this.
You know,
it's a joke.
This has been a joke for a lot of them from the time Donald Trump said that the coronavirus was just one person coming in from China and it was going to be gone, up to now over 600,000 people dead. And
making a joke
again, if they don't care about people dying, and again, I'm sure a lot of them didn't care about older people dying. Again, you we've got the clips. If you want us to play the clips, we'll be glad to play the clips of talk host types that say, well, they've lived a long life. Why are we worried so much about them? Now it's the children. Now it's their communities. And if they don't care about that even, it's the small business owners that run the economy. Yeah. It's the family businesses, the family hardware store, the family restaurant, the entrepreneurs, the thousands of entrepreneurs that create millions of jobs and grow this economy. And a lot of, you know, they did make it alone. These small business owners, family business owners, sometimes passed down from generation to generation, whether it's a hardware store or it's that family restaurant that you've been going to in your town for a long time. Mm-hmm. Those people need your help.
They do.
They need to make sure they can keep their doors open. And if you're in one of those hot zones that the CDC said, you know, help those small business owners out. Help those entrepreneurs out. Help that family business out. They've been with you shoulder to shoulder through the years. You be with them. If you're in one of those hot red zones, help them out. Get a vaccination. And when you go in there, don't be a snowflake. Help them out. Wear a mask. If it's going to help them, if it's going to help the health of your community, and yes, if it's going to help your own family. Let's bring in right now a host of the podcast On Brand with Donnie Deutsch. Donnie Deutsch, also Republican strategist and MSNBC political analyst Susan Del Persio, also chief correspondent of New York Times Magazine Mark Leibovich. Susan Del Persio, you and I, former Republicans. I think maybe you're still a Republican.
I am.
I don't know. But anyway, okay, so you're still a Republican. Okay, then I can have you talk about your party. Gina and I were just talking about this. People have a right to be stupid, but they shouldn't have a right to make our children and our parents and our grandparents sick. How long does this go with people like Kevin McCarthy? When does he start following the lead of Mitch McConnell on vaccines, on masking?
Probably when he sees poll numbers reflect it. And don't forget, McCarthy's also getting a lot of pressure from Donald Trump to play a certain game. That's one of the reasons why they meet and talk. And there's no doubt about it. All McCarthy's going to do is whatever Donald Trump wants. But, you know, I think when this starts to change, there's got to be a couple of things. CDC has to do a better job of communicating that where we are today and things can change. There's nothing wrong that science has shown us that we now have to mask up because people are not getting vaccinated. That's okay, but they need to explain that that can change yet again. The other thing we need to see are some of these states like Arkansas, which has a ban on wearing a mask. They need to lift that ban so people can stay healthy. And then finally, I don't think we start really seeing this break a lot until maybe this time next year, when children, especially those, you know, over the age of 12, probably will be required by their state to be vaccinated, something you've talked a lot about, Joe, that all of us have had to be vaccinated to start kindergarten. I think once it's approved by the FDA, we're going to see more of that happen, which will, in fact, help us raise that rate of vaccinated people around the country.
Get the latest updates on this year's high-stakes election with MSNBC's How to Win 2024 newsletter. When you subscribe, you'll get expert analysis on key races sent straight to your inbox, including articles written by the host of the How to Win podcast, Jennifer Palmieri. Subscribe today at MSNBC.com/win.
Yeah, and I agree with you. CDC has to do a better job communicating. It's almost like they're scared of their own shadow right now. It's all right to say, yes, we lifted the mask mandate a couple of months ago. Guess what? A lot of idiots didn't get the vaccination. And because of that, guess what? There's a new variant out there that's like 100 times more contagious than any other variant. Kids are starting to fill up pediatric wards. We have to actually save people's lives. So this is our recommendation. If you live in areas with a lot of idiots around you that haven't been vaccinated, that are going, well, I don't know if the facts are the fact. With 99% of Americans that are in hospitals right now are the unvaccinated. If you live in those states, wear a mask, save yourself, save your children, save your parents, save small business owners, save entrepreneurs, save family businesses. Do it for them. Do it for everybody. Donnie, this hyper individualism, right? Republicans used to talk about individual rights, individual liberties. That's what we were all about. But at the same time, we talked about personal responsibility. Like, you have a responsibility to yourself. You have a responsibility to your country. And yeah, you have a responsibility to your community as well. Now it's all hyper individualism without any concern about your community, without any concern about your country, without any recognition, since so many of these people that are doing this are evangelicals based on surveys, without any recognition of what Jesus said, do unto others that which you would have them do unto you. Right? And never mind the whole thing about the body is a temple, take care of it. I mean, all of these former conservative beliefs that were once held by these former conservatives just thrown out. And we have nurses, we have doctors, we're not doctors so much, but we have a lot of people going, oh, come on, I don't know. Well, that's what they say, COVID's bad, but is it really? Yes, it is.
What's the solution to this? And you guys have touched on a few things, and in no particular order. First of all, mandate. I mean, that's it. 16% of Americans basically say if they're mandated, they will get it. You know, those are the hesitant ones. That's solvable in a minute. Number two, private businesses. We're starting to see more and more of it. Danny Meyer took a big step, the big restaurateur, who said, basically, you can't come into my restaurant unless you show you're vaccinated. Private enterprises got it. If I was still running my agency, just like the people that run Washington Post, Jeans Company, nope, you can't come to work. There's certain things that have to happen. Third thing, keep dragging Mark Zuckerberg in front of Congress. The predisposition of people who get Amen. The news from Facebook versus Fox News is so much higher exponentially of people that won't get vaccinated. I'm going to say it again. People who get their news from Facebook versus Fox News, not the New York Times, not MSNBC, are predominantly much more predisposed to get the vaccine, to not want to get the vaccine.
Can I stop you there for a second? Sure. Can I stop you there for a second? Because I've got a lot of people saying, oh, don't drag Facebook around. Talk about Fox News. Well, we could talk about both. It's not even a close comparison. Facebook versus Fox News. Facebook spreads so much more disinformation to so many more people. I can tell you, Fox and Friends to Hannity, you have people that are encouraging Americans to get vaccines. Yes, there's some who aren't. Mm-hmm. There's some who are saying some things that are wild and crazy. But those people don't have 1/100th the reach. None of us in cable news do. Of Facebook, which is spreading. And has been. I've had to tell family members like 12 times that Dr. Fauci didn't kill people during the AIDS epidemic and that COVID wasn't a hoax because Facebook kept spreading this plandemic thing. Mm-hmm. And now you're right, Donnie. They just keep churning disinformation that not only undermines American democracy, but makes Americans sick and kills them. Joe Biden was right. He shouldn't have backed down. The disinformation on Facebook kills people every day.
And let's keep shaming. Let's put faces. It's two people that can solve it. Right now in this country, two people can keep Americans alive. Mark Zuckerberg and Sheryl Sandberg publicly continue to shame them. And like that, let 50% of the people get their news from there. You solve the problem. That's it. It's all come from one megaphone. And the final thing I would continue to do, and Joe Biden kind of touched on this, Joe, you mentioned it in one of the earlier blocks. I've been talking about this a lot. Let's keep calling it the Trump vaccine. Let's play rope-a-dope here. Let's basically give the guy credit. Hey, everybody out there, all you people, all you QAnon people, all you people who will not get the vaccine, it's Donald Trump's vaccine. Come on, it's the big guy's vaccine. Let's rebrand it. Let's give him credit, whatever it takes to get people safe. So shame Facebook, call it the Trump vaccine, public national mandate, and businesses getting behind it. These are four very direct solutions to solving this problem.
Mark Leibovich, Joe Biden obviously had a different tone yesterday. He sounded a lot more like Americans I've been talking to, saying, come on, we're moving toward vaccine mandates, one. And two, your kids are going back to school in the fall.
Yeah, no, I think the president yesterday definitely captured a tenor of a changing mood in the country over the last week or so, in which there's a lot of frustration, there's a lot of anger. And also, I do think, to pick up on one point that Donnie was just talking about, He was very direct in giving credit to Republicans, but also he didn't mention the word Trump. I don't know if that's a subtle troll or not. And maybe he did earlier in his remarks. Mm-hmm. I didn't see the entirety of them. But he said this was created in a Republican administration. He gave a shout out to Mitch McConnell, to Kay Ivey in Alabama. He said Kentucky is in pretty good shape. I don't know if this was a conscious effort on who he was mentioning and who he wasn't, but clearly they're elevating their Republican allies on this. And there are a lot of them, and there are a lot of them who are you know, more quietly allied than they have been. But I do think it's very, very important for as many Republicans as possible. This is, again, I know the White House has been saying this, to actually speak up and be proponents of the vaccine. Whether you call it a Trump vaccine or not, I think that it's going to be, you know, key to this effort in the next few weeks to gain the momentum.
Yep.
Go beyond the headlines with the new MSNBC app. Get real-time analysis from live blogs to in-depth essays, video highlights from your favorite shows, and the latest updates on the 2024 election. Visit msnbc.com/app to download.